I'm Pop, big I'm Brian Petrie, giving out the lot. One is mortal, you know it won't miss, gonna take a shot. Dog lock, that's the underdog, yeah they in the hunt. Send them homeless, KO or submission, yeah somebody done. Slime ball, yeah that's the parlay, we gon' make it known. Pick 'em pod from MMA tapes, yeah let's get it gone.
Woo! Yeah, that's how you start the fucking new year. Pick 'em pod, first one of 2023. How we doing, everybody? What's up? What's up? We got a show, babe. We got to pick 'em this weekend. Fight week. Finally, fight week. So last year, at the very end of the year, a couple weeks ago, I told you one of my goals was to get the pick 'ems out earlier, right? Pick 'em weeks, get them out earlier. My Australian listeners, there are actually quite a few of you, love you. And some European people, they, you know, like, hey, bud, you know, we're in different time zones. You release that shit Friday or Wednesday night, Thursday morning. It's not till Friday here. I get it, right? The plan is to record Monday. Today's Monday. We're recording. It's before dinner, okay? We're recording. And then I'm going to edit all tonight, all tomorrow, get it out tomorrow. That's the plan, man. That's what I'm going to try to stick to. Let's see how long ago. I mean, I know life happens. I got some stuff going on. That's the plan right now. Little update real quick. We got one thing before this little update. Then we'll get to the fights. I know you guys want to, you know, jump right into the fucking fight. So do I. But let me give you a quick update. My mother is doing quite well. She is an absolute fighter. Obviously, we don't know anything yet. She's still in the middle of chemo and radiation. I think she has 4 more chemo treatments left. She's going once a week. I think after this week, it's 3 weeks or 3 weeks left after this week. She gets on Thursday, radiation every day. Absolute super trooper. I mean, superhero. You know, if you, every mom, everyone's going to say this, but my mom literally is like the sweetest person. Like there's not a mean bone or body. I got away with everything when I was younger. And she's like the most gullible, sweetest woman in the world. And, she's killing this. She's doing a really good job. I'm so proud of her. She's incredible. So all your heartfelt messages a couple weeks ago, I wanted to give you a little update. She's kicking its ass. I see her almost every day. If not, we FaceTime and she's doing really well, way better than I thought she'd be doing. Just because it's tough on your body as people who have experienced or seen their family members go through cancer, chemo treatment, it's pretty fucking rough. She's killing it. I love her to death. Keep going, mom. And then right before we get to the picks, I was going to release a video last week because this news broke right after I released my Wednesday takes. Jake Paul signs with the PFL. So, listen, I've been pretty critical of Jake Paul. I definitely was critical when he fought the YouTuber's first fight, then Nate Robinson, then the Ben Askren thing is when I really turned on him because people were going, well, it's MMA versus boxing. If it was MMA versus boxing, boxing wouldn't send out Jake Paul, and sure shit, MMA wouldn't send out Ben Askren. So I hated the way that was marketed. Either way, though, he turned a corner of me during the Anderson fight, I think. A little before the Anderson fight, he turned the corner of me. Not because of the whole, like, you know, fight or pay thing. I think he's just doing that to kind of jab at Dana. But he treated Anderson with respect. That was actually a pretty fun fight to watch. You know, he, you know, regardless of Anderson being 48 and, you know, all this stuff, he knocked out Tito Ortiz, who's an older guy. He beat Julio Cesar Chavez, who's a real boxer. I think he drawled with him, excuse me. And he gave Jake all he can handle. And Jake, you know, was back. It was literally against the wall and found a way. Now, a lot of people say it's robbed, it's scripted, it's this and that, whatever. I was on that camp as well. The Tyron Woodley little right hand curl and then knockout. Still got a little question marks about that. But signing with the PFL, I think it's huge news for the PFL. I really like the PFL organization. My guy, Kenny Florian, is a commentator there. And I really like what they do. I like watching PFL more than Bellator, more than one. I think PFL puts out a quality broadcast. The pacing could use some work, right? The pacing is... almost fell asleep thinking about it. But other than that, I really think they put out a good product, good fighters, interesting scoring. The smart cage is interesting. And they've reached and they've signed some people. You know, they're out there trying to do some things. They signed Jake Paul, gave him equity in the company. He has a super pay-per-view division, whatever the fuck they're calling it. But it's good for the sport. And I got to tip my hat to Jake because that's what we've been wanting. Oh, you're beating up all these old guys in boxing. come over to MMA, right? And there's video clips of him when he was younger saying, I'm not going to box this guy. I'd fight him MMA. MMA's way better or whatever. And, you know, then he fell into boxing, whatever. Whatever you feel about this guy, he moves the needle. People want to watch him. I watched the Anderson fight. I watched the Tyron Woodley fights afterwards. I didn't illegally stream it, allegedly. Hey, I don't know if I did it or not. You can't find the fucking link. But I did do that with Anderson fight. And that was a really fun fight. The Tyron Woodley fights, definitely didn't watch the Ben Askren. I mean, I've seen all of them, but not live. So I think this is a good fucking move. And then he's calling out Nate Diaz. Let's do one boxing, one MMA, which I like. I mean, Nate's a little smaller than him, but he says, I can cut to 180. Nate, you know, let's get up to 180. So there's, I think this is good for the PFL because this is kind of the blueprint that Bellator / Strikeforce used back in the day, bringing in people, you know, like Kimbo and bringing in certain like wrestlers or whatnot. Bellator's still using that. They're bringing a lot more grappling guys now. And then UFC's done it as well. I mean, does anybody not remember CM Punk? I mean, what Brock Lesnar did was special because Brock Lesnar came over, was a professional wrestler, big, huge, strong freak. Obviously, he had some wrestling in Minnesota, was a great collegiate wrestler, but, you know, no one knew if he could fight. They knew he could wrestle. Came over and won the title within like three fights. CM Punk doesn't have an athletic bone in his body, but the UFC gave him a shot because of who he was. So this is what they do. They sign people with some name recognition to sell some pay-per-views. This is what they do. CM Punk. Kimbo Slice UFC did that as well. You look at Sean Gannon back in the day, Sean Gannon, RIP. He was the guy that beat Kimbo on the street. They signed him. He got destroyed by some nobody. You know, this is what the UFC, which I know they're high and mighty. They're on their high horse. They're the cream of the crop. This is what they've done. And Bellator continues to do it. And I think this is a smart move by the PFL to sign a guy like Jake Paul. And I'm very curious. You got my attention now. Okay. My attention has been had. So let's see what you got. All right, fight time. Let's get to these fucking fights, huh? I did the Anakin Florian yesterday. So good seeing those guys. If you haven't seen it, Kenny and I, we had a little new wrinkle into, took a little something what I do here and we brought it over there. Added a little new wrinkle. Thought it went really well. Good energy from the guys. Kenny's dealing with some back stuff. So, you know, he's out there being an absolute fucking trooper. But I felt like it was a good show, and you can go watch that if you haven't watched it already. But here, we're going to do my pick'em. Every single fight you know is picked. First time being here before, I got a DM by a gentleman saying, can you explain, like, I like you, I'm new to gambling, can you explain the terminology, right? And I can't go over everything, and I don't really know what I say a lot of the time, you know, just ba 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 ba. You know what I mean? All right, anyway, okay, so basically I think he means like when I lock people up. So dog lock that's obviously self-explanatory. The underdog of the night, I'm going to lock them up. That's a must bet for me. You know, obviously I don't tell anybody to bet. Hang on a second. This whole time that wins it, now it's the old logo. Hang on, boys. I'm embarrassed. I got a new logo, and the Wednesday Takes logo's been up there the whole time. And I can't use that one. And this is dead air. All right, so they won't let me use my new logo for some reason. All right, you wanna go there? You wanna be that way? All right, yeah, I'm gonna have to hit you with this one then. I gotta get that Wednesday Takes off there. I gotta get the old logo off there. So we're just gonna go with one of the greatest things that's ever been made of me here. Oh, your boy killing it. Look at that. Little AI art. Just fucking killing it. I'll have to figure that out later. Anyway, apologies. Should have crossed some T's and dots some I's. But he asked me what the terminology means. So I'm assuming he means what I talk about, the locks and everything. So slime ball parlay, that's self-explanatory. I'm being a slime ball. Guys charge for that shit. I'm giving it to you for free. It is what it is, right? I like Slimer. Boom. Dog lock, obviously underdog lock. Anybody with a plus number who's going to give you a bang for your buck, that's my lock. That's who I think is going to win. Mortal lock, someone who's usually in the minus, who's the favorite, hopefully not too big of a favorite, but a favorite. And that's the absolute best. If you're going to listen to anything I say, bet that fight any which way you want, parlay, whatever. I think it's good any which way. And then the send them home. I get this question a lot. The send them home. This is from John Anik himself. Before I was on John Anik's show, I believe it was the podcast after Jan Blachowicz. I used to have the soundbite. I don't have it anymore. But I believe it was the Jan Blachowicz knocked out Dominic Reyes. And John opened the show and he said, "Send him home, Jan. Send him home early." And I loved it so much. So I clipped that and that's my "send him home early." This is a fight that I think is going to finish. It could be, I'm going to choose a side, but either way, I don't think this fight's going to go to a decision. And that's something I'm going to keep score of this year. Not only does my guy get the finish, but does it actually get finished as well? So for those people DMing me, there's three. Hopefully that clears some things up. You know what I mean? And let's get into the motherfucking picks. This guy's name's real fun. Matush Rebecki, minus 700 versus Nick Fiore, plus 510. I mentioned this last podcast. I don't know why Nick Fiore is even in the UFC. Who offered this guy a contract? Was it a blind man? I hate to be rude. I actually think he's that bad. By the way, my card's a little different from Tapology right now. I apologize. One of the curses of doing it early. So Nick Fiore's coming out of New Hampshire, New England Cartel. Good gym, right? 6-0, 25 years old. But he beat a guy's last time out 5-9. Before that, 15-13, George Steppert, rear naked choke. Before that, 8-4, his best win over Andre Borges, rear naked choke round one. 3-9, triangle choke, Jerome Mickle. Jay Ellis, KO, 15. This guy's fucking record is 15-98. Then, again, seven fights earlier, he beat Jay Ellis, same guy, and he was 15-91. He knocked him out, rear naked him, choked him all in the round one. This guy has not left round one once, and I hate that. I hate that for a guy coming in, not leaving round one. You got a limited record. You haven't fought anybody good. Then you get this Polish guy that's coming in here. He's got a lot of confidence. He looked good in the contender series. He's a massive favorite. I hate to start the year with a favorite, but I got to. I can't touch Fiore in this situation. Now, Fiore can go out there and surprise. Comes from a good camp. And, you know, he likes to grapple a little bit. He seems like a tough kid. But I just don't know if the skills are there to beat a guy like Rebecki, who is very good. 15-1. And has looked really good. I thought maybe he was even a guy that probably didn't need to go in the contender series. Could probably got an offer outside of that. But it is what it is. Take your path how you can get it. But yeah, I'm going Rebecki here. I'm gonna do. I'm gonna open it up. If you are from Boston, you're New Hampshire, you're New England, and you know Fiore, and you know this guy in and out. I want you, or even if you don't know, what am I saying? If you're taking the shot here at minus 510, let me know. Right, I want some action on that. I might want to, you know, we'll Venmo, Cash App each other, whatever you got. I want some action on that because I don't know anyone picking this guy. And maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I'm blind as a bat, but I just don't see it. All right, next up, Priscilla Cachoeira, Catch a Body, shout out Paul Shag, plus 170 versus Sajar Eubanks, minus 200. Sarge, this is going to be scrappy, up and down, bloody, going to a decision. I don't see either women finishing each other. I have such a hard time picking women's fights, but I'm getting better. And I have such a hard time picking Sarge Eubanks fights because I used to think this fighter was very, very good. I thought the ceiling was incredibly high for her. She's 7-7. 7-7. So, you know, I haven't pulled the trigger quite as I want to. This could be a no bet for me, right? And I ain't gonna bet this. I'm picking Sarge. Minus 200, it's a little steep. It was closer earlier in the week. Cachoeira, I do not think is the most high level fighter in the world, but she just doesn't go away, right? You hit her, have the bat. She's coming forward, right? And Sarge has slowed down in the past, and there's been some incidents where maybe that third round gets a little hairy for her, and Cachoeira is just gonna fucking be there. But skill for skill, Sarge is the better fighter here. I think she can mix things up and win a decision. Hopefully the cardio is on point. Not a fight. Again, I'm not gonna bet this fight. Well, you know what? I'm not gonna say not because you know I don't drive to Indiana anymore. I can do it from my couch. I might bet the over. I might bet this fight goes to decision, some kind of parlay here. But right now I'm going Sarge. Sarge is the pick. I want to make another disclaimer. Excuse me, I should have done this at the top of the show. I have a hard stance on if I come on this camera and I record my voice and I make a pick, I stick with that pick because you can't flip on your picks. You just can't. But since I plan on doing this earlier in the week, there's going to be a rare case where, well, obviously fights will get scrapped and I might have to do that. And follow me on Twitter, Brian Petrie MMA on Twitter and Instagram. I'll be posting my updated picks on both those. But there's a rare case where I may switch my pick. Maybe bad weight cut, bad feeling. I'll get a gut. I'll switch it. I don't want to be a fraud. So follow me on those social medias And I'll tell you if I'm switching my pick. And I only will switch a pick if that means I'm betting that pick. I don't bet every pick, right? But if you know what I mean, you get it. You guys are smart people. You fucking get it. All right, next, another name here. We got Matheus Mandaka, plus 290 versus Javid Basharat. I'm a Basharat guy. I'm a Basharat guy. I think this kid is good. He's confident. And I think he's got the skills to pay the bills. When's the last time you heard that? Bringing it back. 13-0, 27 years old. Came in. Tony Gravely, you ever heard of him? Pieced him up. Trevin Jones pieced him up. Orion Caja finished him on third round. Very competitive fight. Orion was a, I believe he's an undefeated fighter coming in. Yeah, undefeated fighter coming in. Finished him. Undefeated on his record. And his record's good. He's got 11-1. He's got 6-0. He's got 5-0. This guy's fought the who's who. And he's got Matheus Mandaka, who's 10-0, coming in off the Contender Series. Looked good, right? Looked good on the Contender Series. Finished with a right cross. Just a beautiful right hand. Finished on the ground early in the fight. He's got some KOs on his record, but he likes the fight to get to the ground. But you look at who he's fought, right? Fought a guy 6-1 in the Contender Series. Solid win. Before that, 21-5-2. In Brazil, that's a pretty good record because most of these Brazil guys, you know, they're fighting gas station attendants and they're fighting, you know, just Uber Eats drivers. Shut fucking Errol Hawani, who kept saying that on his rant the other day. And then after the 21-5 guy, 0-0, 4-1, 7-1, decent little records there. Decision with the one guy who's 7-1. Let's see what his record is now, 9-2. Not a bad fighter. And then 1-2, 3-4, you know, you get the picture. He looked okay in the Contender Series. We only got a small sample size, but it doesn't matter. We could add a large sample size. I'm going Javid Basharat here. This is going to be one of my slime balls. He's definitely going to be in the slime ball. Not only that, he's my mortal lock.
This is a mortal lock demon, baby. First of the year.
Let's go, babe. Mortal lock, Javid Basharat. This was when I went through last week when I was picking the card. This is the first one I went, boop. Went and looked at Mendoza. I'm mispronouncing his name. Mandaka. Whatever your name is, sir, I apologize. Javid is going to take you out, and I'm fucking confident. It's all get out in that one. Let's go. Next up, Abdul Razak Al-Hassan versus Claudio Ribeiro, minus 110, minus 110. So this is the beauty. It's just the beauty of betting early is I got two early bets in and what the sharps do. The sharp guys out there, guys on Twitter who are really sharp or very, very good handicappers, they beat lines. They bet early, they beat lines. I see it all the time, right? I haven't been able to really do that. I beat two lines. I'm good to always put out early bets, so hopefully it doesn't ruin the podcast. But if you follow me on social media, which you should, Claudio Ribeiro was my pick, plus 100. Now he's a pick'em now. Obviously, the line hasn't drastically moved. But I like him in this spot here. You know, Abdul Razak Al-Hassan, he's 1-4 in his last five. I know he was going through some shit. He's fought some high-level guys. Ribeiro come on the Contender Series. But Ribeiro's got, he's got some intangibles. Big striker. Again, I'm going against my word that I just said about Brazilian fighters. When they local or up-and-coming town in Brazil, there's so many guys and there's so many fights on there that you really have to weed through a lot of junk to find some gold. And Ribeiro is a solid striker. What does he have outside of that? I don't know. Al-Hassan has a good judo background, and he can strike. He can fucking take your head off clean. That first round, I'm going to be nervous. But Al-Hassan slows down a little bit. I don't know enough about Ribeiro to know if he's going to slow down. If he's not, he's a good striker. He's pretty good size in his weight class as well. Al-Hassan's a little undersized. You know, he used to fight at 170. Now he's at 185. So I went Claudio Ribeiro here, plus 100. Not going to dog him up because he's currently not a dog. He's a straight pick him. But that was an early pick. Your boy got at plus 100. Probably like him by knockout, even though Al-Hassan's only been knocked out one time. That was by Chaos Williams, who can knock out the moon if he wanted to. That guy's got some big power. And it was like a kind of a quick knockout. So this might go to decision. I don't know if I'm going to prop play this. I don't know if I'm jumping into the prop pool yet. Right now, it's on a Monday. I don't know. But give me Ribeiro. Plus 100 is what I had him. He's currently minus 110. Jump on the line. Line seems to be moving a little bit. Monitor it. It is Monday. If he drops down the plus number, hammer that fucking number. Huh? Hammer it up. But I got Ribeiro. Umar Nurmagomedov. Now that versus Honey Barcelos. Umar minus 700. Barcelos plus 510. again, I picked this on the Anakin Florian podcast. I think Umar is the next up. I think he's next the fuck up. I think he's very, very good. And I think, you know, with Khabib retiring, which is a big story, how's that affect these guys? All it counts is Khabib ran a strict ship, which could be good and it could be bad, right? Is Umar going to California? Is he in Mount Everest with Islam? There's a lot of questions I have, but I think he's so good that I think this is going to be a good fight for him. I think he matches up well with Hani Barcelos. I think the line's really wide. I get why the line's wide. Umar seems to be untouchable. Barcelos does have really good grappling. You know, good wrestler himself. One of the few handful of Brazilian guys that come from Brazil with a really good wrestling background. I wouldn't be, you know, I'm not too worried about his wrestling. I like Umar here. I mean, you could put him in a parlay. Minus 700, you're not getting a lot of bang for your buck. If you're going to put him in a parlay, make sure it's like a four-legger, a confident-ass four-legger. Try to squeeze out a plus number or even a very close, a pick-em number. You're risking a lot. I typically don't go over three fights in a parlay. A three-legger is, I think, is the most you can do. A lot of guys hit lottery plays, and that's fine. Everyone throws a five spot or a 10 spot on a lottery play, and that hits, and that's gorgeous. That's a great feeling, but I don't like to waste money like that. You know what I mean? I don't feel like I'm that lucky of a guy to hit something like that. So three is where I cap it, but this could be a parlay piece. I'm very confident in this guy. This would be a mortal lock. This would be a lock him up. You'd hear the fucking demon voice, but minus 700. I can't be, I'm not a chump. I'm not some goddamn chump giving you minus 700 plays. I'm not some chump, but I do like Umar a lot in this fight. Give me Umar, probably by decision. He could finish Barcelos, but I think it's going to be, you know, Barcelos is going to probably have to really grapple. And I just don't know if he's going to be able to hang with that. All right, next up, Daniel Argueta versus Isaac Dulgarian. Dulgueta is a minus 180. Dulgarian is a plus 155. So, Dulgarian, UFC debut, believe he's the undefeated fighter. Believe he's from New Jersey. Huh? You from New Jersey, boy? Where you at? Where you at? Where? Chicago? Chicago. Wait, no. Kansas? Glory. Oh, shit. Coming from Glory. I should have done it. He's undefeated. All finishes on his record. Coming in here, and I've seen this kid fight, seen all five of his fights, seen some of his amateur fights as well. Relies on his wrestling heavy. Argueta, this fucking guy, goes in the Ultimate Fighter, was like the number one pick, blows it. Doesn't get signed to the UFC. Comes in the UFC, short notice against Damon Jackson. Huge underdog. Puts up a decent fight, but just undersized. Now he's in his right weight class. He's a good grappler. These are very similar guys. I almost went Argueta because I'm like, he had so much hype around him entering that Ultimate Fighter house, and a lot of people respected him, that there's obviously some skills there. But I'm like, I can't get there. Dulgarian is a very similar fighter to him, and he's a dog number. So give me the fucking dog here.
Hello? Okay, this is dog.
Okay, that's your dog. Not my dog lock. I don't have many dogs in this card, but I do like this spot as an even toss-up fight. I completely forgot Dulgarian was from Glory MMA. I don't really like what's going on there. They don't really have a head coach, at least according to the reports. Krause apparently is not selling this gym anymore. I don't know what's going on. Who are they training with? Did he leave? He only five fights in. Does he have enough money to leave to go somewhere else? A lot of questions I need answers to. So I don't love that right off the bat, and I'm actually thinking about switching my pick, and I'm gonna. Give me Argueta. Switch pick. Pick is switched. Yeah, give me Argueta. I don't trust a guy with no camp, with no, I gotta make that correction. Sorry for swiping. That doesn't happen often. That doesn't happen often mid-recording, but I'm glad I caught it. I can't trust a guy with no camp, no coach, no nothing, making his UFC debut against a very similar fighter who has some UFC experience. Give me Argueta. I might regret it. And I'm going to fucking play it too. Fuck it. That was the universe. Lightning bolt struck me and I switched my pick. So I have to bet it. I might fucking bet it right now, but I don't want to take up too much of your time on the podcast. So give me Argueta. Switch the pick. All right. Next up, Caitlin Vieira, minus 115 versus Raquel Pennington, minus 105. Now boys and girls. So I only had two locks on this whole card, or excuse me, two dog locks on this whole card. I just switched off the one. The other one I have is Raquel Pennington, who is basically a pick'em, minus 105. It's not even a puppy, right? It's a puppy, but they can't even open its eyes yet. She's my dog, Locke.
Hello?
Raquel Pennington.
Okay, this is dog.
Kenny and I don't want to ruin what Kenny and I did, but we split on this fight. Obviously, he took Vieira. I just think Vieira doesn't do enough. She's looked good in her past couple fights, but she just doesn't throw. It's just like, do something. What are you doing? Like, do something. That's what you want, but she just doesn't let it go. I think Raquel Pennington's 4-fight win streak, she's in a groove right now, and she is going to let it go. Tough as nails. The only time we ever seen her really roughed up, and I mean, the Dream and Brandon fight, she did get roughed up a little bit, but the Amanda Nunes fight was the one where we're like, oh, this is surprising. She ended up quitting in that fight, whatever. Rebounded well, 4-fight win streak, and she's beaten some good female fighters. And I think that Raquel is good everywhere. She's not going to get taken down. She might get out like paced and out like positioned. And Caitlin might land the bigger shots because sometimes Raquel can get caught staring. Her last 4 fights, though, she's really found her groove where she's like, I need to press forward. I need to get in her face, and I need to really make this thing happen. No foot's off the gas. Fucking full throttle. I can't talk. Give me Raquel. Give me Rocking Pennington. That's my dog, Locke. I had a new dog soundbite, but it's not on here. I don't know. What have I been doing for the past month, Ryan? Get your shit together, bro. But yeah, give me Rocky Pennington as my dog, Locke. I like her by decision. I like 2.5. There's no way this fight, barring injury. Now, one of these, you know, cut, someone can hurt their leg. Heaven forbid they don't. This fight goes to decision. Well-rounded, high-level women's MMA, and they're scrapping. This fight's going to a decision. That should be a lock in itself. But give me Raquel Pennington. All right, next up, you got Alan Nascimento versus Carlos Hernandez. Carlos Hernandez coming off the Contender Series as well. It's Contender Series card. A lot of Contender Series players on here. I don't mind it. I don't hate it. Is what it is. This is the kid coming out of Illinois, VS Academy, who I looked up. Undefeated. Victor Aldemarino was his, he does have a UFC fight. Split decision over Victor Aldemarino. Looked okay on the Contender Series with another split decision. A lot of decision wins here. Likes to get the fight to the ground. His stand-up is okay, but he's like a controlling guy. He wants to control the pace. He wants to control you. And like I said, he wants to fight on the ground. He wants to be in top position. He's very good. Nascimento came out and beat Jake Hadley his last time out, and Jake Hadley has looked really good. Nascimento really kicked into another gear in that Hadley fight. Took Hadley down. Grappling looked on point. Nascimento is tough on the feet. Not high level. Not scrappy. Tough, but not like high level. But he could give guy like Carlos Hernandez fits on the feet. And I think if Nascimento gets it on top, he's going to win. It's minus 345 versus plus 285. Don't know if I said that. I'm a little rusty. Minus 345 Nascimento side. I'm going to take Nascimento. I don't love it. I'm not putting in any kind of parlay. I think he's going to smother Hernandez and win a decision. I think it's going to be a grappling fest. I think they're going to stand up on the feet a little bit. Maybe I'm underestimating Carlos Hernandez, but I don't think I am. I think he's just good enough to be here, but I don't know how much noise he's going to make. Coming off 2 split decision wins, very close fights. I thought he won both. I did, but they're very, very close. I can see, I wouldn't be upset if he lost either one. You know what I mean? So give me Nascimento if he looks a quarter good like he did against Jake Hadley, who I think is a very good prospect. He's going to do fucking good in this fight. He's going to win a decision. That's the play here. My money line play, my pick is Nascimento. My bet play is Nascimento by decision. Book it. It's going to be a fucking enormous number. So it might not be worth playing the shekels. Obviously, props aren't out right now, but that's what I like. I like Nascimento by decision. All right, next up, you got Jimmy Flick, plus 280 versus Charles Johnson, minus 340. This fight had a little controversy because the line moved, but it was like 2 weeks ago. Someone could have put a $150 bet on Johnson. We don't know. A lot of people jumped all over it. I don't think it's that big of a deal because it was so early. If that happened on a Friday, if that happened on a Saturday, yeah, obviously a couple hours before the fight, yeah, we'd be worried because the money's already in. The money's coming. The books had just opened, right? The lines had just opened. There probably wasn't that many action. 4 people probably bet it. You know what I mean? So the big, huge line movement, no need to worry. I don't think there's any fight fixing here. You got to worry about Jimmy Flick, though, right? First off, how can you bet a guy named Jimmy Flick? I feel like I'm not a bully, right? But I feel like if I went to a school and a guy's name was Jimmy Flick, I'd bully him because his name's Jimmy Flick, right? That's just a dork-ass name. Very good fighter, very talented fighter, but he retired. He was done. I'm getting out of here. Fuck MMA. They don't pay me enough. A couple years later, I'm back. You know what I mean? Shit, I got fired at the sawmill. What the fuck? I don't know if he works at the sawmill. I don't even know where he's from. Anyway, very good on the ground. I think Jimmy Flick is flying triangles. Good off his back. Charles Johnson has to be careful here. I hate this line. I think this is a rat line. I'm sniffing this line now. It's a rat line. That's what I'm doing. Charles Johnson has looked good, but minus 340 good. I know Jimmy Flick is retired, not retired. This is a paycheck fight for sure. For sure he's coming to get a paycheck, and he don't care if he loses, but he's going to be dangerous round one. He does have some pretty good submissions. I think Charles Johnson wins, as much as I think it's a rat line. You know what? Fuck that. I haven't taken one real dog, and I'm not about to be a chalk bitch. I call this a rat line. I'm putting my money where my mouth is. Give me Jimmy Flick. I hate saying the name, but give me Jimmy Flick. Never happened in the history of MMA takes. Switch a pick twice. Give me Jimmy Flick. Round one submission. That's all I'm going to play, right? That's going to be an enormous number. After round one, run, right? Hedge your bets. Round one submission, Jimmy Flick, plus 280. Lock it up. Lock it the fuck up. Even though it's not a lock, I don't know why I'm saying lock it up. I'm just saying that's my bet. All right, next up, Danny Ige. Minus 125 versus Damon Jackson, plus 105. Another early bet where your boy beat the line. I'm a sharp. Danny Ige was my first legal MMA bet in the state of Ohio. I bet him like a week ago whenever line opened up. He opened up minus 115. Sprinkled a little bit. Hopefully he will maybe drop because people do like Damon Jackson. He's on a nice little run here, but he did not. He went up. So it is what it is. Maybe I'll put him in a parlay. Foreshadowing. But I picked him. This was another pick on the Anakin Florian we did as well. I picked Danny Ige. I'm confident in this fight. I am so consistently wrong with Damon Jackson, though, that for my audience, for the people watching me, I care about you. You might want to fade me on this one. Even though I'm confident on Danny Ige, he was my early bet. I am putting him in the slime ball parlay. Okay. Spoiler alert. He's in it. And I locked him up on the Anakin Florian show, and I'm putting him as my send him home here. So I am pushing my chips in the middle. So take that with what you will, but I've been wrong on Damon Jackson. The only fight I've ever been right on was a Topuria fight, but that's just because I knew Topuria entering the UFC was an absolute fucking buzzsaw. Damon Jackson has improved, right? I picked against him almost every time. Cardio's elite, right? Grappling is getting better. He used to be only off his back. Now he's taking guys down. He's strong. He's lanky for this division. I don't think that's going to be an issue with Danny Ige. Danny Ige does have some pretty good takedown offense. I think Danny Ige needs to walk forward, touch the body, touch the head. Damon Jackson's been knocked out 3 times out of his 4 losses, and he's been dropped in almost every one of his fucking fights, right? So give me Danny Ige. Send him home. Slime ball candidate number 2, and it was my early bet. First ever. So we got to start right. There's a lot in. I'm putting all on Danny Ige, who's on a 3-fight losing streak. Excuse me. 3-fight losing streak. But against the cream de la cream. That's French. The top of the line guys. If Josh Emmett's not knocking you out, if Korean Zombie's not knocking you out, if Calvin Kattar's not knocking you out, I don't think Damon Jackson is. Damon Jackson won his last fight against Pat Sabatini because he hurt him on the feet. Right? He hurt him on the feet, and then that was the end for Pat Sabatini. His biggest win. And the one thing I will say about Damon Jackson, because I don't dislike the guy, I just happen to pick against him every fucking time, right? So bet accordingly to the people out there. I want you guys to win money. I could be wrong. Win money, right? Go with who you think's going to win. He's a slight underdog plus 105. But Damon Jackson wants these big fights. He's calling for these big fights. I love that. He's getting Danny Ige, who I don't think's ever going to reach championship level, but that's a name. He's fought everyone. He's a fun fight. Really fun fight. This might be fight of the night. I'm really looking forward to it. Got a lot invested in Danny Ige, so there it is. All right, co-main event, Puno Soriano, minus 155 versus Roman Kopylov, plus 135. Kopylov almost made me look like a chump, right? A chump. This dude came in the UFC and I was hyped on him. I was fucking hyped. I'm like, oh, this dude's really good. His outside the UFC record's great. Laid 2 eggs in the UFC. Took some time off, finally came out, got to finish his last time out. Probably got re-signed and or... this is last fight in his contract. Most guys get 4-fight deals. So I don't know about his contract status, but he's getting a guy that I think he matches up well with, at least on paper. But I think Puna's striking, his power, Kopilov gets hit a lot, is going to be the difference maker here. I think Puna's going to catch him early. I think Kopilov is going to take lazy shots because he's not a grappler at heart. I'm sure he's got some good grappling. He's a good guy. He does have good top pressure, but Puna's a good wrestler. He's been in there, wrestled his ass off against Maximov. So I don't think he's going to get taken down here. I think he's going to hurt him. I think he's a butt. I think I'm going to put him away. This was almost my send him home. But again, I'm invested in Dan Ige. So I had to go on Dan Ige. But this could be another send him home. I like Puna by knockout. That's what I'm going to play. Probably not going to touch it money line. We'll only jump into the prop pool. Go Puna by knockout. Book it. Book it, book it, book it. Dead air. I got to get Danny DeVito. Whenever I take a drink like that, because I talk so fast, I get cotton mouth. Danny DeVito for It's Always Sunny has a good dead air. That's going on the soundboard as well. All right, main event, Kelvin Gastelum plus 180 versus Nassourdine Imanov minus 210. I didn't sugarcoat it on the Anakin Florian podcast. I'm all over Imanov here. I mean, I'm all over him. I think Gastelum 1-5 in his last six. Yes, he's fighting high-level competition, but he's not a middleweight. He moved back to Arizona, which could be a blessing or a curse. Either he's more focused, he moved home, or he's out there partying with high school friends and getting into trouble. There's a lot of bad and good with moving back home. You know what I mean? But he's at a good camp, fight ready. Hopefully he's taken seriously, because the only way he's going to win this fight, I think, is if he wrestles. Imanov's cardio has fallen off cliffs. The Buckley third round, the Phil Halls fight, it is just nosedived. His striking is very good. I think this fight here, first main event, he's got to pace himself, right? Kelvin Gastelum isn't a high-paced guy. He looks for left hands, big left hands. He doesn't set anything up. He doesn't kick. He's not the most dangerous guy on the feet. You got to watch out for the left hand because it is powerful, but other than that, he's not the most dangerous guy on the feet. You have to pace yourself and pick him apart from the outside. You're 6'3". Kelvin Gastelum's listed at 5'9". He's every bit of 5'7". I've seen him in person. He's not 5'9". Imanov is going to have to use his length and piece him up and pace himself. Don't look for the knockout. Kevin Gastelum's never been knocked out. The dude is tough, right? He got dropped hard in a lot of fights and has recovered. So do not headhunt. Do not overload your shots. I know you want to go out there and you want to knock out Kevin Gastelum. You want to make an impression. You want to go 2023, I want a title shot. All that good shit. But you have to go out there and piece him up on the feet, at distance, move your legs, watch for the takedown, and just keep hitting, move. And then when he slows down, and if you have maintained your gas tank, then you can turn up a little bit. Turn up a little bit at the end of the rounds. But I feel like Kelvin Gastelum's coming in and grappling here. Anakin Florian podcast on Twitter put out a poll. Who's going to win? 63 or 60-something percent voted Imanov, which is right. But a lot of people are commenting that they think Gastelum's going to win by wrestling. And they have a good point. I do think he's going to wrestle here, but I don't know how effective that's going to be. Imanov is very good on top. He's got good hips. And it's not like Kelvin Gastelum, when he gets to fight to the ground, it's not like the floor is lava in this fight, right? Kelvin Gastelum gets to the ground. What is he going to do? Ground him out? He doesn't have any submissions, right? He's going to take you down, lay on you, but you're going to get back up. He's going to wear on you a little bit. That's the way he's going to win. But there's no real danger if you get taken down here. So I feel like you can let some things go. Flying knees, whatnot, but only at the end of the round once you control the round. Oh my God. I literally just got a text from my guys as I'm recording. So we're going to have to redo this all again. Breaking news. You obviously know, by the time I'm recording this never happened again. This is a special podcast. Two flip switches. Kelvin Gastelum's out. Sean Strickland in. So now it's Sean Strickland versus Imanov in the main event. I like it even more for Imanov. Sean Strickland's got, he ain't knocking anybody out. He's got a good pace. That motherfucker ain't gonna get tired. But give me Imanov here. Give me Imanov. Maybe even by knockout. Now I gotta process the whole thing. Stay tuned for MMA Takes. Brian Petrie MMA on Twitter, on Instagram. My pick is Imanov. I'm not switching from my pick. Strickland or Gastelum, Imanov's my guy. I'm high on Imanov. But I got to figure out how it's going to get done. So, man, I like that fight better, I think. I like it better. Breaking fucking news. You obviously know before you see this, but breaking fucking news. All right, so Imanov versus Sean Strickland is a new main event. Give me Imanov. Going to be a stand-up battle. Sean Strickland's going to be mad if he doesn't get the decision because he thinks everything turns into a sparring match. Have these guys worked together? No, I think because Imanov and Chris Curtis are going to fight, so they haven't worked together. So maybe that won't be a sparring match. They're going to go after it. All right, give me Imanov, babe. All right, so Slimeball Parlay. After all that, I'm not changing it up. We got Javid. I got to pronounce his name right. Javid Basharat, Dan Ige, Nasrdin Imanov. That's the three-legger, plus 241 to start the year. And just like always, main event in the slime ball, you can hedge. You can hedge to Strickland. I don't know what the line's going to be on that fight. That's going to be interesting. Breaking fucking news, babe. At 205 pounds as well. So Imanov doesn't have to cut that weight. Sean Strickland coming in on literally a week's notice. Less than a week's notice. Woo! All right. That's the show, baby. Brian Peachy, I mentioned it a million times. I'm not going to keep plugging myself. Please subscribe to the channel, Club 1K. Let's fucking go.
Yet again. Some picks with our man Brian Petrie.